Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this 13th Sunday after Trinity is our gospel reading from Luke chapter 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" God saved Abraham by promise, by grace, not by works of the law. The inheritance that the lawyer sought can't be earned, and it never could be. Why then did God give the law if it was not a path to salvation? Because of transgressions. We had a rule at my house that everyone had to take their dishes to the sink after dinner. If my children were more saintly, I wouldn't have needed that rule. But they would have just done it. But because some of them are sinners, they sometimes tried to pretend like they didn't know what they should do, or what decency required, or they were so caught up in themselves they forgot all others. So we had to make a rule. The duty was there without the rule, but the rule destroys excuses and helps to curb our baser desires with threat of punishment and shame. The rule comes from transgressions. The rules given by God to Abraham and Moses not only show us what is right, but also remove our excuses and pretending that we are righteous. Consider again the lawyer. Seeking to test Jesus, he asks what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus asks him to recite the rules. He does. Love God and neighbor perfectly. And in the recitation comes conviction. The lawyer panics. He's desperate. And in lawyer ways, he searches for a loophole. Why? Because he wants to justify himself. Now, we are prone to judge him for this, but we shouldn't. We are prone to think that this is what is wrong with the lawyer. He is self-righteous. But we have got it exactly wrong. Now, he has felt the killing power of the law. In quoting Scripture, he realizes that the Scripture has imprisoned him under sin. I do not mean that when he seeks to justify himself, he is doing something saintly. I merely mean that the law has had its way with him, and he is not far from the kingdom of God, and he is no longer seeking to test Jesus. He is not legitimately seeking, and he is seeking the right thing, justification, but he goes about it in the wrong way, and he asks the wrong question. He asks, "Who is my neighbor?" He wants to know who he is supposed to love so perfectly that his love will earn him salvation. The answer, of course, is everybody. The law expects perfect and total obedience. There is no loophole. And if Jesus then told a parable to emphasize that fact with a parable that simply illustrated the fullness of what the law demands, and there are no loopholes, then Jesus doesn't want the lawyer to be justified. He wants to punish him for trying to test him and for asking stupid questions. Sadly, that is how the parable of the Good Samaritan is often misread. Some people think that the parable is meant to answer the lawyer's second question, "Who is my neighbor?" But it isn't. It's meant to answer the first question, "How do I gain eternal life?" And we know this because Jesus changes the lawyer's question at the end of the parable. He doesn't ask, "Who is the Samaritan supposed to love and help?" That's the lawyer's question. Who is my neighbor? Everyone. Who are we supposed to love and help? Everyone. Jesus doesn't ask that. He asks instead, "Who proved neighbor to the man who fell in the ditch?" Not everyone. Not the priest or the Levite. Not the innkeeper or the donkey, the one who showed mercy. How does one gain eternal life? By the mercy which endures forever in the Son, who took up flesh and was despised by men, but who came and found us half dead and had compassion on us, since the law couldn't help us as it passed by on the other side. His compassion put the oil of holy baptism and the wine of holy communion at his expense. He put us on his beast of burden, and he walked as our servant. He took us to an inn for recovery. He paid for everything and promises to come back. The best thing the lawyer ever says in all his life is in response to Jesus' question, the one who had mercy. Here is what saved Abraham. He received this promise 430 years before the law. It bestowed on him an inheritance of promise, which he received by faith. Jesus has compassion on the lawyer who finds himself struck down by the law and in danger of hellfire. He doesn't simply preach more law to him. Go out and try harder, O lawyer. Find people to help and serve. It won't save you, but you don't deserve to be saved. You aren't worth it. Have some more law. He actually loves the lawyer and is on his way to the cross for the lawyer, even though the lawyer is oblivious. So when the law does its work and strikes him to the heart and makes him desperate in wanting salvation, Jesus holds out the promise given to Abraham. You don't so much need to be a neighbor as you need a neighbor. You don't so much need to be merciful as you need mercy. What is it to live on this side of glory without faith but to be half dead? To be sure, the love of Christ is to be imitated and reflected in his children. Having heard the gospel, the lawyer is to recognize that everyone is his neighbor and that he ought to love them because God loves them. He ought to act like Christ in the world. There is an expectation in Christ that having heard of the free mercy of God in the Messiah that comes for those half dead and in need of forgiveness and bestows eternal life on them, that the lawyer will be changed. He will therefore go and do likewise, taking the gospel with him, witnessing to the mercy of God and the compassion of God with both his words and deeds. Go and do likewise is a law statement. It is the third use of the law. It isn't an accusation. Jesus isn't saying to the lawyer, I know you and are now full of faith and grace, and therefore I need to cut you down by showing you your sins. He is saying, I found you half dead and saved you. I paid for everything because I love you. I also love the rest of this world. Filled with my love, you also love them. Now go and be my child, my ambassador. Do like I do. Be like me. And the lawyer doesn't hear that and becomes self-righteous, as though the words of Jesus were poison to faith. Rather, he embraces it and loves it, because he does want to be like Jesus, like his heavenly Father whom he admires and respects and wants to please. So he goes, and he tries. And his attempts are imperfect because he is still infected with sin, and the good work begun in him is not yet complete. The command to go and do likewise does accuse him. He sees that he has not lived up to it, but he does not despair. He remembers that his Father loves him, that Jesus died for him, that he is bought and paid for and can't be snatched away. And he repents and rejoices, and filled with the Holy Spirit, he goes on and tries again. That's what it is to be a Christian. We go in the love of Christ and seek to imitate him, recognizing that he didn't serve us so that we could maximize our pleasure, but to be a part of his kingdom. We want to be like him. We love those he loves, which means everybody. We learn to read all of the scriptures through this dynamic. Christ our Lord desires mercy and not sacrifice. That is, he desires to be merciful to us. He wants to be our neighbor, to serve us. He has compassion on us. He has given us the law because he loves us. It is not the path to salvation, but it is the path of salvation. That is, it is the path that we walk in Him by His mercy. He gives us a place in His kingdom and includes us in His mercy as a loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through Christ Jesus. Amen.